Music is it's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? And today we're going to be talking about music, what it does, how it works, how it functions, and what it does to you and to me. So before we start, you mind if we have prayer again? Our Father, as we consider this subject, I know that the people have had a good meal, and the challenge of staying awake is always great. But I pray that your Spirit will quicken us and help us to remain fresh in our minds. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about music, first of all, we should talk about where music begins and what's its origin, etc., so that we can consider how music actually functions and how it plays a part in our experience. You and I know that music has a part in every aspect of our lives. When we're born, our parents sing for joy that we're born. As we grow up, there's music in many aspects of our lives. There's birthday parties, people sing. There are always dances or occasions in the church. You go to church, there's music. And you get married, there's music. No matter where you go, there's music. Isn't that true? Music is at work. Music is at play. Music is in church. You get ushered into the world with music, and you get ushered out of the world with music, because at the funeral, guess what? They play music also. So you come in with music, you leave with music. And music is constantly around all of us. Now, in order to understand how music functions, we must get a little understanding of what creation is all about, how God creates. Everything that God creates functions within the spheres of what God has purpose for creation. It says the stars of heaven are all under what? Law. Each influencing the other to do the will of God, yielding their common obedience to the law that controls their actions. God has made everything to function under law. And aren't you thankful for that? A lot of people may not appreciate law, but if it were not for law, you wouldn't be. There are laws that govern your being, that keep you together. If it were not for those laws, you would come apart. So God, in His mercy, has created everything to function within laws. And so we have the planet Earth that has laws that govern its function. We have the universe. Everything is under divine law. And so everything functions within the laws of God. From the stars that are in their trackless courses, through space, follow from age to age your appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. For example, right now, you're sitting on a pew, that's what we call it. In reality, you're only sitting on molecules that vibrate, that spin. And because they're under certain laws, they have to spin wherever they're placed. And it so happens that you have molecules there that are in the form of wood. You have molecules that are in the form of whatever the cushions are made of. And that's what's holding you up, just little balls that are floating around in space. And because they're made to stay within the prescribed laws that God has made for them, you have a pew. And you can sit on the pew knowing full well that the pew is not going to come apart when you sit on it. Aren't you glad for that? Think how horrendous it would be if you would never to have any sort of comfort level in knowing that everything is static and that whatever God has made is there. Think of how uncomfortable it would be if every time you took a step out of your house, you would fly up into heaven and you would have to figure out how to grab yourself back down. So we have a certain amount of security in that God has created things that function under law. What do you say? Is that true, yes or no? Yes. That's what gives us security. Now, the earth functions under the pattern that God has established for it by staying within its orbit. Imagine if the earth was not maintaining its orbit. Imagine if the Earth decided to go off into outer space and just like some unguided missile cruise through space. You wouldn't be able to survive. You wouldn't be alive. There would not be the consistency of seasons. There would not be the constant warmth and the amount of warmth that we have. We would either we freeze to death or we would be charred to death, one or the other. The Earth has been placed by God within a certain distance from the sun to maintain your comfort. Aren't you thankful for that? And so it spins around the sun at a prescribed time. We call it a year. It's actually cycles that God has devised for these spheres to function within. The moon goes around the sun at a certain vibrations or cycle, and it's the moon that gives us the tides, etc. Think of if there were no tides, there would be no living thing in the sea. And so the tides that go up and down actually create a certain ability for life to exist within the sea. In other words, obviously, the more you know about divine law, the more you understand how the earth functions, the more you realize that there's some mind behind it that governs it. What do you say? You know, I was just reading recently an article in the Review and Herald about how difficult it is for children to understand Fanny Crosby's songs because they're so old, or the King James Version because they're so old. You know, that we need to have something modern today for the kids, a modern Bible, modern songs and all that, to be contemporary with the kids. How dumb do we think kids are? Do you know that kids can learn, without any problem, languages? You take a child, for example. When I was in Romania, I was staying with a family. I had two boys. One was 4 and one was 5 years of age. And mom would talk to them only in German. Dad would talk to them only in Hungarian. Two extremely difficult, especially Hungarian, it's an extremely difficult language to learn. Okay, so mother only in German, dad only in Hungarian, and in the community, it was only Romanian. So whenever dad would talk to them, they would respond in Hungarian. Whenever mom would talk to them, they would respond in German. And whenever I talked to them, well, they had to learn English. And so they were speaking fluently three languages and learning the fourth, English. 4 and 5 years old. So how difficult is it for people to learn Fanny Crosby songs? Not very difficult at all. It's the older you get that you have difficulty in learning things. Isn't that true? The old gray matter becomes older, right? But even then, old dogs can learn new tricks. What do you say? Will you bark to that? Yes. Fortunately, you're not dogs. You're human beings, and God gave you the ability to learn. Listen, there was a lady in a nursing home who was 91 years old. And she began to feel like her memory was failing. And she didn't want to lose her memory because she wanted to retain the precious promises of God in her mind. And so you know what she did at 91? She decided to help keep her memory alive. She began to exercise her memory. You know what she decided to learn to memorize? The book of Revelation. And at 91, she memorized the entire book of Revelation, word for word and verse for verse. The problem with us is that we have become lazy. What did I say? Lazy. We've become lazy. Listen, I used to be, when I worked as a machinist, I had the ability of calculating things right there. I became the foreman of the machine shop, and I had no problems calculating all of the different angles, etc. Today, if you ask me to do that, I have difficulty doing that. You know why? I got used to the calculator. And even when I decide to try to add, it's so easy just to get the calculator, isn't it? So what happens to the brain? It becomes lazy. Okay? So we have no ability in learning things. We just have to realize that the one who created us gave us the potential for learning. What do you say? And it's a matter of desiring to learn. Listen, when I became an Adventist Christian, I have to confess to you that I did not like English in school. Any of you sympathize with me? And the result was that I had a reading level like kindergarten, you know, the Spot and Dick and Jane, you know, that little book. And so I got to the place where if I had to read, it was just simply to read the words from a song that I had to learn. And usually I didn't have to read it. All I had to do was listen to the record. And I only read when I could not decipher the word. Then I would go to the actual music and try to find the word. Otherwise, I just listened to it. So when I became a Christian, I became a Christian out of conviction, not because of knowledge. By the what? Conviction, not because of knowledge. I remember the pastor telling me, in order for you to get baptized, you're going to have to take Bible study. So I said, what do I have to do? Well, he said, you'll need to study these. He gave me 24 lessons. And he didn't realize that I had difficulty in reading. So I thought to myself, when I looked at that pack, I thought, this is going to take me a millennium to study. And you know, when you look, open the Bible and you see the book of Job. Right? And then you look at the word Nebuchadnezzar. That's a mouthful, right? And so when I looked at those Bible studies and I thought I was going to have to learn those $100 words, it was going to take me a long time to get. So I begged him. I said, listen, please, I want to get baptized. I want to get going with my spiritual life. So he made a judgment call. He baptized me. I promised him that I would study those lessons. I didn't tell him how long it would take me, but I told him I would study those lessons. So I was baptized April 13, and I got myself my Bible, and I borrowed a set of Bible commentaries. I got a dictionary, and I carried those with me into the military. And I carried them in my duffel bag, besides all the other stuff I had to carry in the duffel bag. And so wherever I went, took my duffel bag, it was extra heavy, you understand? You know what the commentaries are, right? They're books about this thick, and when you have 10 of them, you understand? So I carried those around. But I was so determined that I was going to learn because I had read a passage, or should I say, they had quoted me a passage that said that the Holy Ghost can teach you more in one moment than all the wise men in all the ages. And so I banked on that promise. And I decided that if, you know, if God says it, surely He'll do it. And I began to read, and I began to read, and I began to read, and I began to study. And I was placed in Korea in headquarters company where all the guys in my quarters happened to have a master's degree. And I had a high school dropout. And so, fortunately, they never got into discussion with me about their particular field. They always wanted to talk about religion. And I had the answers because I've been studying, you understand. And by God's grace, I learned to read the scriptures, and I learned to understand, and today I have a lot of passages in my mind simply because God promises that if we put ourselves to the task, God will increase our abilities. He will what? He'll increase our abilities. All right? Now, having said that, the more you learn, the more you understand how everything is fashioned together. It says the same hand that what? Holds the mountains and balances them in position, guides the worlds in a mysterious march around the sun. Isn't that wonderful? Everything is under divine control. Praise God. What do you say? Well, you folk are not too awake today. I said, praise the Lord. What do you say? Yeah, everything is under divine control. That's why we celebrate the Sabbath. But listen, having said that, all of God's creation vibrates in synchronized rhythms. Isn't that interesting? All of what? God's creation vibrates at what? In synchronized rhythms. What do we mean by that? Everything that God has made has its own cycle. We call it rhythms. In other words, the earth goes around the sun at certain rhythmical beats or pulsations. In other words, we call it a year, which is 360 days plus or minus. Okay? The earth goes around the sun, the moon goes around the earth in a time period we call a what? A month, all right? And so God has ordained these things to function in synchronized rhythms. And everything goes around precisely at the time that God has ordained. I became a certified scuba diver, and I understood very, 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 very well how important it is to stay within divine law. As a scuba diver, it is dangerous for you not to follow the laws. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you may not come back. For example, one of the things that happens is, if you go down too deep, you get what is called narcosis, which is, a lot of people call it the rapture of the deep. And that simply means that you get drunk down there. Every 35 feet that you go down is equivalent to a martini. So, as you go down, you're getting affected. Now, you haven't drank anything, all you're doing is breathing, but nitrogen forms in your brain. And you begin to get high, as it were. And you cannot depend upon your feelings, you have to depend upon your gauges. Alright? And at certain levels, you can only stay a certain length of time. And you have to listen and pay attention to that gauge, and when that time is there, you have to start resurfacing, and you cannot just go all the way up all of a sudden. You have to come back a certain level and stay there for a few minutes, and you have to come up another level, stay there for a few minutes, and you don't feel a thing. You just know this is what you have to do. You hear what I'm saying? And finally, the last step is you have to, under 15 feet, you have to stay 15 feet at least 3 minutes, floating around down there until all of the nitrogen is out of your system. And as I said, you don't feel this. You don't feel anything going on. You just have to accept that that's the reality. Because if you do not accept that it's the reality, and you decide to come immediately from down the bottom all the way up to the top, and you do not decompress, what happens is that those nitrogens form bubbles in your bloodstream, and if they happen to form in your brain, you're gone. If they happen to form in your spine, you get paralyzed or crippled. If they happen to form in your lungs, in other words, you don't feel it until it's too late. All right? Now, if you're down there, however, and you don't pay attention, you get narcosis, you get high. And, for example, there was some Japanese people who went down to Palau, where I served as a missionary. The water's crystal clear, and it's hard to determine how far you are unless you check the gauges, because the water's so clear. Well, he went down, and he just kept on going down, down, down. His buddy tried to pull him back, and he wouldn't come back. And the last time his buddy saw him, he took off his mask, he took off his breathing apparatus, because he began to feel like he could swim like the fish. And he drowned, and the last time he was seen, he was going down and disappeared. Okay? Narcosis. Now, as I said, it isn't something that you anticipate. It isn't something that all of a sudden you wake up and say, okay, I'm having narcosis. No, you have to, you don't wait until that happens. You check your gauges and you say, okay, there's as much time as I can spend down here, and you begin to come up. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? God has made certain laws, and those laws protect us. So long as you stay within the laws, you're fine. You get outside the law, what happens? You get in trouble. Is that true? Yes or no? For example, adultery. Adultery is something that the only thing you feel about it is good when you're doing it. Right? In other words, when somebody is going to be unfaithful, they generally speaking, in the act, don't feel bad. The passions take over and they feel good for the moment. Isn't that true? It's the consequences, the aftermath, that bring the bad results. Is that true? Yes or no? Do you know what I'm saying? So the safest path is to stay within the law. And the people said, amen. All right, now, everything functions within the synchronized rhythms that God has performed, that has created. The molecules vibrate at a certain speed. In fact, folk, you and I are also rhythmical in nature. When you consider music also itself is rhythmical. Everything that God has made is rhythmical, so music also is rhythmical. The question here then is, did God make music a law unto itself? And what's the answer? If everything else that God has made functions under music, under law, then you have to expect that if music was created by God, which I believe it was, then it also has to function within certain laws. Does that make sense? Yes or no? All right. The reason I'm bringing this out is because there are people who are saying that, that music in itself is harmless, that music is amoral, that music really has no effect on people, it's your taste and your desires that determine whether or not something music is good or bad for you. Okay? The point is that music has to function under divine law. And if it has been created by God, then God made laws to govern music, and therefore, as long as music stays within the laws that God has made it to function under, then it brings benefits. If it doesn't, then it creates problems. For example, man basically has its own personal rhythm. And man's rhythms can be altered. How do you alter man's rhythms? When you exercise. By the way, do you know that you have rhythms? Yes or no? You know you have your own personal gait. You know what I mean by gait? How many of you have horses or acquainted with horses? You know horses have gait, right? Okay. You have gait. In other words, the way you walk, you have a certain rhythm about the way you walk. And it's personal. In fact, your parents, kids, can tell you that you're theirs, even though they may not be able to recognize your face from a distance, just by the way you walk. Is that true? Parents, how many of you can vouch for that? Yeah. You can see your kid down the road, and the way he walks, you say, that's my boy, that's my girl. That's by the way they walk. Right? Okay, why? Because their walking pattern has been imprinted in the minds of mom since the time the child learned to walk. And that walk is unique. Every person has their own personal rhythm. That's interesting. Do you know that, of course, that your fingerprints are unique, right? But do you also know that your face, there are certain points in your face that you only have, no one else on planet Earth has. And they devise mechanisms now where they can take a picture of your face and identify you precisely who you are. Because you have certain points in your face that only you have, no one else has in the world. Amazing? What do you say? Which speaks eloquently that there is design. There's what? There's design. Okay, there is a creator. What do you say? All right. And by the way, in parenthesis here, since we're talking about creation, a person who's a Christian cannot believe in evolution, nor can he believe in a theistic evolution. A Christian has to believe what the Bible says, otherwise he's not a Christian. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you believe that there's any process of evolution in the outside of the Scriptures, and you don't believe what the Bible says, the six-day literal creation, then you cannot believe that Jesus actually made bread instantaneously. And think of it. Jesus did not only make bread instantaneously, he didn't have to go through the evolutionary process of growing the plant, getting the grain, collecting the grain, cleaning up the grain, cooking the grain, baking it, and then finally having a slice of bread, getting it sliced. Isn't that interesting? Jesus instantaneously made bread, which means that there was no need for evolution. If you believe in Christ, and you believe in a divine Christ, then you have to believe that he had the power as well to put back an ear. And any physicians in our midst, any doctors, if you know anything about the ear, it's a very complex organ. And Jesus, when Peter cut the ear off the servant, Jesus just picked it up and put it back on. Now, no evolutionary process was necessary to do that. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. It means he began to decompose. Jesus instantaneously put him back together again. It didn't take millennia of years or billions of years to get him back together. All Jesus did was he spoke and Lazarus came together. What do you say? And that speaks about divinity, divine power. In other words, If you don't believe in what the Bible teaches, then you can believe in evolution, etc. But if you believe in what the Bible teaches, then you cannot believe in evolution or any of these things, because it betrays the reality that Jesus is whom he claims to be. The divine creator who is able to recreate in an instant and not be dependent upon the process of evolution. And if you don't believe that Christ has the power to do that, then you are hopeless because there's no resurrection. In other words, you've been dead in the ground for millenniums, for example, and Jesus comes back, and he'll have to wait until you evolve in order to put you in heaven. Aren't you glad that the Bible is clear? What do you say? That God is the creator, and he can do precisely what he says he can do. Yes or no? Yes. All right. Now, that's in parentheses. This was not a music presentation, but I thought, since we're talking about creation, it's important to understand that God has made everything to function a certain way. And as long as we stay within the laws that God has given it to govern the being of that particular item, then there's safety. Now, since the body has its own vibrations then, or its own rhythms, can those rhythms be altered? Yes, they can be altered. In fact, when a person gets sick, what happens is that their rhythms get altered. In other words, the heartbeat begins to beat slower or faster? Faster. They begin to breathe? Faster. Okay? The temperature goes up. All right? The rhythms begin to get affected. And that's why the doctors, the medical field says they are dis-ease. And that's what disease is. If you look at it, this is disease. Okay? So when the person is going to get back at wellness or wholeness, then they need to get their rhythms back in synchronization and back at homeostasis or back in balance so that the person can be at ease again, and that is what we call wellness. Okay? Now, you can exercise and you can alter your breathing and heartbeat. Is that true? But how long can you do that for? Indefinitely? No. Even a marathon runner eventually will have to rest and allow his normal rhythms to get back into sync. No one on planet Earth can maintain wellness with his basic rhythms out of sync. Sooner or later, he will die, or he'll have to bring back his rhythms back into sync. Okay? You have all sorts of cycles, and we'll read that later. Now, music was made to what? Serve a holy purpose, to lift the thoughts to that which is pure, noble, and elevating, and to awaken in the soul devotion and gratitude to whom? To God. Now, all creation then pulsates in synchronized rhythm. Music is fundamentally made up of rhythms. For example, the notes basically are vibrations. That's all they are. And these vibrations beat at a certain prescribed speed. In other words, when you take an instrument and you play a note, all that's happening is that you are vibrating. You're causing a vibration. That's all you're hearing. The thing is that your mind takes that note and converts it into what we call music, okay? But all instruments basically are tuned to a 440A, the international A, and the purpose of that is to be able to play in tune. Now, an A then must vibrate at 440 hertz per second, okay? If it vibrates faster than that, 448 or 450 or whatever, or 490, it is no longer an A. It is out of tune. It is either sharp or flat or has become another note. But it cannot be a 448. And so all the notes that you hear basically are vibrations. Every string in this guitar, in order for it to be in tune, has to be tuned to a certain vibration or speed of vibrations that make it a certain note that it's supposed to be, okay? In other words, if I had my little music tuner here, A music tuner, generally speaking, either has a needle or has lights. And all it's doing is it's catching the sound of the vibrations. And if it hears the vibrations vibrating at the right speed, then the green light will shine, which means that this thing is vibrating at the right speed. Or the gauge will show that it's at the right speed. Okay? That's all you're hearing. Now, not only is that true concerning the notes, but every string or every note is a vibration. And then you have harmony is also the stacking of vibrations. In other words, if you take, for example, the guitar and you want to play an A note, what you're doing is you're playing three vibrations, right? It's just that the vibrations, if they're in tune, cause what we call harmony. I'm only causing the string to vibrate. Your brain is interpreting that sound and calling it music. Okay? Not only is that true, but tempo is made when the vibrations are set to rhythmical patterns. All right? For example, a tempo could be slower or faster. And you could recognize certain songs by their tempo and how they have been timed. For example, a cradle roll song. Do you know what I mean by cradle roll, right? Downstairs, all right? See if you can tell what this one is. Can you tell which one that is? This little light of mine. Okay? Now you can do it faster. Or you do it slower. Okay? Again, all you're hearing is what? Vibrations. That's all you're hearing. All right? Now, music is made up of five elements. Melody, which is tones that are arranged to make a tune. Tone control, the quality of sounds produced by instrument or voice. For example, there was a flute and there was a guitar, and the guitar has a certain tone color. The flute has a certain tone color, and that's what makes it a flute. The piano has a certain tone color, that's what makes it a piano. The trumpet has a certain tone color, that's what makes it a trumpet, etc. Violin, viola, cello, all have their separate tone colors, and that's what makes them the instrument they are. Harmony is the stacking up of tones so as to create chords. Rhythm, a specific allotment of time given a note or syllable and verse, and a time meter of a composition. If you take your hymn book, it always has time signatures, like, for example, these ones have 4-4, 3-2s, 4-4, 3-4s. So basically, there are time signatures that tell you how this music is to be played. Now, there's also the tempo, as I said, how fast or slow the rhythm is to be played or sung. So music basically has certain laws that govern it. The vibration of each note has to be prescribed within a certain speed. The stacking of the notes, if you don't have the thing tuned, then it doesn't sound like harmony. It sounds like what we call disharmony, for example. You have here the A, right? But if I do this, can you tell the difference? How many of you are tone deaf? Any of you? So anyway, if the instrument is tuned, it is because it is coming under the laws that govern that instrument. You understand what I'm saying? The flute, for example, you have to play it a certain way. There's a certain way you play the flute. There's a certain way you blow across. And you can say, well, I'm going to blow on this anyway, and it'll make a sound. Well, you'll blow for the rest of your life, and you won't get the right sound. There's a certain direction you have to blow to get the sound. So there are laws that govern music in its construction, its makeup, etc. And the more we understand how music functions, the better off we are in understanding the relationship. So now let's talk about man and music, how man and music are put together. First of all, man is made to function in rhythmical patterns as well, as I mentioned. Notice this quote here concerning man and his vibrations. First of all, we are essentially rhythmic what? Creatures. Everything from the cycle of our brain waves to the pumping of our heart, our digestive cycle, sleep cycle, all work in what? In rhythms. Okay? So, we are a mass of what? Of cycles piled on top of another, so we're clearly organized both to generate and respond to what? Rhythmic phenomena. In other words, all of us basically are rhythmical hosh-poshes. In other words, we're just a mountain of cycles. For example, sleep cycles. You and I have to get our sleep. I've noticed parents of the little lady that I'm staying with, whose name happens to be Katie, when she is not behaving well, they say, well, she needs to take a nap. Fortunately, she behaves most of the time. But the time comes when she's out of her cycle. She is not able to control herself as she should, so she's put to sleep to get synchronized again, and then she can control herself better next time. Okay? That's why mothers are scientists without knowing it. They just follow things by nature. By what? By nature. Fortunately, mothers don't have to go to school to learn all this scientific stuff, right? Otherwise, who would become a mother? And so, what they do is that which God has instilled in them by nature. Isn't that amazing? Mothers don't take a university course to become a mother. And if you had to take a university course, you would spend all eternity trying to figure the things out, and you still would not know enough. So God has to give you wisdom, what do you say? And help you. All right, so a child gets out of sync with herself or itself, and putting it back to sleep puts it back in synchronization. Sleep cycle, the Germans, for example, during the war, the way they would torture people was by sleep deprivation. They just take people and force them to stay awake, they torture them that way. After a while, a person that you don't sleep, you break down. So the cycles that we have, they're brain waves that function as cycles. And in the sleep cycles, there are certain cycles that certain levels of sleep that a person goes through when they actually sleep. There are digestive cycles. There's a Krebs cycle. There are all sorts of cycles in the human body that God has put in there in order for you to function the way you function. If it were not so, folks, you wouldn't be around. Thank God for all that He's put in you that you don't even have to figure out. What do you say? Imagine if you had to figure out how to digest an apple. I mean, something as simple. Well, how do you digest an apple? Do you know? Huh? Well, let me tell you, just a simple amino acid, just to digest a simple amino acid. Phenylalanine, which is an amino acid essential that comes in the food. The body takes it and breaks it down to what is called tyrosine. And then it breaks it down to another chemical, which is called dopamine. And from dopamine, if the body needs epinephrine, norepinephrine. If the body needs adrenaline, then from dopamine it makes adrenaline so that you can take your flight when you're scared, etc. Well, if it doesn't need it for that, it takes it and makes it 3.4 dehydroxyphenol acid. Acetaldehyde is what it is. And then if it continues on the process, it makes it 3.4 dehydroxyphenol acid. And then with certain vitamins and minerals, it makes it acetyl-coenzyme A. And from that, it's a main bodybuilding block that finally goes into the Krebs cycle. And if you need fat, if you need this, if you need that, the body makes it. Just out of one simple amino acid. Now, it took centuries for scientists to discover just that one thing. God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. What do you say? All right, so we function rhythmically. So each person has his own personal rhythm, rhythmical pattern. between 60 and 120 beats per minute. Most people range between 70 and 80 beats per minute. All right, so all of you are rhythmical. Aren't you glad? All right, now, how does your rhythm and music interact? When subjected to rhythms of music, the body automatically surrenders its own personal rhythm and in order to assimilate the external one. In other words, because you're rhythmical and music is rhythmical, when you're subjected to music, you automatically give up your personal rhythm and assimilate the external rhythm. Okay, let me demonstrate for you what I'm saying. How many of you have been pathfinders? Any of you? How many of you have been soldiers? Any of you soldiers? Former soldiers, okay. One of the things that pathfinders and soldiers have in common is marching. Right? One of the things you have to learn in the military is to march. I was a cadence caller. And as such, I had to be able to sing a certain rhythm for the soldiers to march to. The reason why that's imperative is because without the cadence calling, people having their own rhythms will never march together. Because everyone will march in his own step, according to his own rhythm. So what do you do to get them to march at the same beat? You have to provide an external rhythm. And by providing external rhythm, the personal rhythm is given up, surrendered, to accept the external rhythm. Okay? Do you understand that? And when that happens then, it is easy for people to march. When you stop the music, then what happens? Then people revert back to their own personal rhythm, and therefore they're out of step. All right? Is that clear? So, marching, a marching band, they march in synchronized steps to the sound of a beat. Also, dance is the same thing. When people dance, they dance in steps, in synchronized movement to the sound of external rhythms. And so, if you want people to be able to harmonize, as far as rhythms are concerned, by playing an external rhythm, the individual gives up his personal rhythm, and it's easy for them to fall into line. Stop the rhythm, and they go out of the synchronized stepping. And by the way, sometimes it's important not to march in synchronized steps, especially if you're going across a bridge. Soldiers have discovered, the military has discovered, that there are certain bridges that you don't want soldiers to march at the same step, because it'll cause the bridge to fall. And so what they have to do is they have to stop the cadence and let the soldiers just walk. And when they walk on their own rhythmical patterns. Therefore, there isn't a vibration created that creates problems for the military. Okay? So there's a time when it's good to be synchronized, and there's a time when it's good to be out of synchronization. All right? Now, in both cases, when the music stops, the body reverts back to its personal rhythm. Hence, in order to stay in step, there must be trained concentration. And what I mean by that is that if you are a professional dancer or a professional marcher, then you memorize the rhythms, and therefore you have the rhythms already within your system. And all you have to do is call back that rhythm to fall into that particular pattern that you want to have. Okay? And even marching teams, there's always somebody who sets the step. And then everybody follows that particular step that is set. All right? Is that clear so far? Yes? No? All right. Then we proceed. Music's power. How does music then have power over the body? How does it function? How does it work? What does it do? And at this time, I'm going to give you a break so you can stand up, breathe, drink water, and come back awake. 10 minutes. I'll start in 10 minutes.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.